Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew 18. We'll be there in a minute. But let's begin this morning's sermon with a question. That question being, should born-again Christians expect condemnation for their beliefs? Should we expect to be criticized for our beliefs? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. John 3:19b. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7, verses 12 and 13. The Bible makes it clear that Christians will be criticized and condemned and even persecuted for their faith. In a world where the majority will reject the truth of God's word and the gospel, Christians should expect opposition. Where the majority will not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The ministry of this outpost of faith obviously desires to challenge both non-believers as well as believers to believe God's word from the very first verse in Genesis to the very last verse in the book of Revelation. Would you please stand as we read from Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 10, and we will read down through verse 14. Take heed, they despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them is gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that God the Father sent our Lord and Savior to come to die for us. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your peace, your grace, for second chances. Lord, we just pray now that as we have this time of reading your word, that it could be of a blessing and an encouragement to all that are here. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We find in verse 11, it says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And the last phrase of verse 14, it says here that one of these little ones should perish. We hear of child abuse, and we think how horrible of some child who has been burnt with a cigarette or had scalding water poured on them or has been beaten. Let me tell you this, there are many forms of child abuse. Do you realize that not sharing the gospel with a little child so that they can come to know the Lord as Savior is child abuse? maybe the greatest of all child abuses. How important it is that our sons and daughters, our grandchildren, know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, opposition from non-Christians. Can I say this, that today's society is afraid of born-again believers and the Word of God? Is it any wonder that we are the ones that are constantly under attack, that we are the ones that are told the separation of church and state? They're not worried about the Hindu or the Buddhist, but they're worried about the born-again Bible-believing Christian. When I say today's society, I mean both those who do not attend church as well as many that do. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Would you agree with that statement of Jeremiah that the heart is deceitful above all things? A British court has convicted two street preachers of breaking a public order ordinance. Their crime: preaching the King James Bible in a public shopping area in Bristol, England. The two men who were explaining the difference between Islam and Christianity using the Bible and references to the Quran. Bystanders began hurling insult at the preachers, and police removed the two men from the scene. The public prosecutor said, to use words translated in 1611 in a very different context, in the context of modern British society, must be considered abusive and is a criminal matter. He continued to say that Jesus is the only God is not a matter of truth. To the extent that they are saying that the only way to God is through Jesus, that cannot be a truth. In their ruling, the court said, we feel it has been proved that both defendants' behavior went beyond preaching the virtues of their religion. Both men were ordered to pay fines. You know, we live in a society that is afraid of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Ken Ham, president and CEO of Answers in Genesis, when asked what he does when he, his organization, or the Creation Museum, or the Ark Encounter is verbally attacked, and may I say this, they are under constant attack. In fact, he says they give us more publicity than all the advertising we do ourselves. But he said, I don't take such attacks of the world personally. I recognize that those who hate us are ultimately angry at God and not me. And that's the truth. They are angry with God. How dare you tell us what we must do? How dare you even insinuate that what we are doing may be wrong? The Lord Jehovah gave the same advice to Samuel, saying, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says, having your conversation or your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Point number two, opposition from church liberals. Many pastors who publicly claim to be shepherds, but are really like those Jesus described this way. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew 7:15. How many of them are masquerading as friends of God's people? They do not deserve our respect, for they have led many a sheep astray. Temple Baptist which was first in Detroit before moving to Redford, had a great Christian testimony in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, even the 80s and early 90s. Oh, when their pastor stepped down, a new man came saying he would continue the long conservative biblical tradition that they had known. He had a couple of weeks into his new position, and he let them know that he would no longer use the King James Version, that their music would now become more contemporary, etc. A couple of weeks later, he told the longtime members that if they did not like the changes, to seek a different church. When country music singers began to lose listeners, as the younger generations no longer seemed to be interested in their music, they decided that they needed to change it. And you may remember when country music then began to install rock music. And today's country music is basically just another form of rock music. You say, Pastor Paul, why do you bring that up? Because many churches have done the very same thing. Can I tell you this? There is no such thing as Christian rock. There is Christian music and there's rock music. The rock world knows the difference. But unfortunately, too many Christians want to be entertained. And we find that we have opposition from church liberals. We have to give them what they want. Yet Paul saying this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. They shall be despisers of those that are good. They'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1, 3 through 5, and chapters 4, verses 3 and 4. But number 3, oppositions from compromising Christians. Compromising Christians. Opposition from those who confess Christ is much harder to deal with. Churches like ours who desire to stay true to the Word of God, who have standards when it comes to the style of music we use, who believe that God does have the right to declare that marriage is between one man and one woman, and that sex outside of marriage is immoral and godly, have an uphill battle. All too many churches today have decided we're not going to fight them, we're just going to ask them to join us. Nowhere in the scriptures are we ever encouraged to act like the world to win the world. Now let me repeat that just so you understand where I'm coming from. Nowhere in the scriptures are we ever encouraged to act like the world to win the world. We are told to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Paul in his first letter to the church at Corinth said, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." I'm going to tell you what, that verse hurts. Because as a church, we need to be awake. We need to be vibrant. We need to send forth the gospel, realizing that people need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read you this thought. There are many people who will reinterpret parts of the Bible in an attempt to fit their evolutionary or homosexual ideas into their Bible thinking. They compromise the Word of God, and as a result, coming generations often doubt and then reject the Bible of the gospel, or the Bible and the Gospels. Verse 11 of our text. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost, is the gospel in one sentence. First, Jesus Christ came for a distinct reason. And that reason is found in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Is it important that we teach that Jesus Christ is the one and only way into heaven? That he is not a way into heaven, but he is the way into heaven. That he is the door that leads to eternal life. For he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, who's trying to tell us that, oh, there are multiple ways into heaven? Well, the father of liars. Who is the father of liars? Satan. Satan, who led a third of the angels out of heaven, is trying still to deceive us. For he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. One way, through Jesus Christ, to ransom one is to redeem them, to deliver them, to release them from the penalty, to pay for their release. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. To be born again, to be saved. Let me ask you this, do you collect anything in particular? Coins, stamps, precious moments, maybe other things? Some of them are priceless. Others are just nice to have in your house. But Jesus Christ saves and collects some things. What does he collect? Souls. Is your soul priceless? You can't put a price on your soul. It's priceless. And Jesus Christ wants to collect them. But he's not the only one. The enemy's trying to collect them too. And how sad that is. Take your Bibles, and while we still have time, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Philippians 2, verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, we're talking about Jesus Christ, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. What a glorious thought, that we are all going to stand before the Lord. But unfortunately, only some will know him as Lord and Savior. Others will simply say that he is Lord. That he is Lord. If you would, the book of Revelation, chapter 20, beginning at verse 11. Revelation 20, and verse 11. John writes, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, notice that, the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, in your mind, find a book, one book. And then there were books. We're not told how many books, at least two, right? But books. And the majority of the people are judged out of the books. And verse 13 says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me ask you a question as we end the sermon. We began with a question. We'll end with a question. Is your name written in the book? Is your name found in the book of life? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Oh, not have you gone to church and been religious and given an offering and a tithe and sang songs and been polite. No, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? But if you were to die in the next minute, where would you spend eternity? Would you be judged out of the books? And when they came to your name, would they say, look at the opportunities you had? Or would your name be written in the book? Oh, folks, we want to be in the book. We want to be in the book. Shall we stand together? 375 is our song of invitation. Just as I am. The Lord wants you to come just as you are, because He's done what needs to be done. He wants to save your soul. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now your hand of blessing at this time on these that are here. And we know, Lord, that you know all the spiritual needs of that man and woman that is sitting here today. Lord, we pray that you would touch them, prick their hearts. May we leave this place, Lord, knowing that we are in a right relationship with you. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.